This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show on placetobenation.com. Now, here's your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Hey, welcome to another edition of the Steve Carino Show. It's number 16. I'm your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino. As you know by now, and if you don't, you're a moron. The Steve Carino Show is brought to you every week free of charge through the Place to Be Nation. But if you want to contribute, and you should, because you're listening for free, and my voice is like an angel, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino and get one of the four Carino-inspired t-shirts. It's the King of Old School 20th anniversary shirts up there. It's not going to be 20th anniversary much longer. It's August. Bitches, Mr. Wrestling 3, Premier Wrestling Federation, and American Tiger shirt up at the moment. The more you buy of the PWF and American Tiger shirts, the more we can get American Tiger just to get his own account there on ProWrestlingTees.com. Hey, Allison Danger, former guest and Shimmer Star, is making gear. You want to look like a star? You better look like a star, because I know a lot of wrestlers listen to this thing. You need to head over to Danger Designs. Email her your stuff at alliedanger@aol.com. That's alliedanger@aol.com. And then ask her, like, who the hell stays on AOL anymore? But she's making me some new stuff. She's making American Tiger some new stuff. Hey, and this weekend, you'll get to see some stuff that she's done. Singlet that I'm wearing against Kevin Steen in his final ROH match, made by Allison Danger. On tonight's show, it's going to be a great show. We're going to have Corey Hollis, Country Jack. Corey Hollis will be joining us, and he's a rising star. So I wanted to get him now before, you know, either ROH swallows him up or TNA. But this is a guy that works super hard, and I love him. Hey, another quick thing here. I got a buddy out there. He told me not to use his name, but he'll be on the show next week. His name is Guillotine LeGrand. He wrote a book called Hannah and the Gods of Olympus, and it's available on Amazon, and it's going to be free today and tomorrow, 15th and 16th. Actually, that would be Friday and Saturday, yes. And it's going to be free on Amazon. Get the book. He'll tell you, it's not my best book. Chuck is one of the most underrated writers of all time. He has been working on a book ever since our days in Puerto Rico that he sends me snippets of it every once in a while and then changes it. But I like every time that he sends me the snippet, I just want more and more and more. So this book is not going to be any different. It's called Hannah and the Gods of Olympus. The book is the first in a series that will tie into the publisher's upcoming movie, Athena, the Goddess of War. Check that shit out. This is mainstream, bro. The company and website is maidencomics.com, and the movie Athena, the Goddess of War film release, it's going to be www.goddessofwarmovie.com. Go out and buy this thing. Don't wait for the free preview. Go out and buy it. Support my buddy Chuck. He's going to be on the show with us next week. He's going to talk about the book. We're going to try and plug it. I want to find out everything about the movie. He'll shit on me a bunch more, and we're going to get into some more stories. Now, we got a lot to talk about today, and you know, I like to keep the Steve Carino Show very, you know, fun and very light and stuff. But, you know, yesterday, and we taped this on Tuesdays, yesterday we got word that Robin Williams passed away at the age of 63 in California of suicide. And usually I am very blah when it comes to celebrity deaths because – you know, not that a lot of times I don't have an emotional involvement in it. And then it's the overpouring of phony support online and on social media, and it gets mad. And once before on the Extreme Odd Couple podcast with Rob Dimension, we had talked about there's too many RIPs. And, you know, we set a limit that you could only have 10 RIPs for your lifetime. Now, Robin Williams was different. I really feel the death of Robin Williams hit a lot of people at home, not just because it's a celebrity, but Robin Williams, through his parts in movies and television shows over a course of, you know, 35 years, really touched people in different ways, whether it be Mork and Mindy, whether it be Aladdin or Mrs. Doubtfire, or What Dreams May Come, Death to Smoochie. I mean, this guy, The Birdcage. I mean, this guy was in so much, and he was such an underrated actor, won an Oscar for Good Will Hunting. But it also came the time of, you know, dealing with the subject of depression. And one thing I noticed by going through Facebook and going through Twitter is Robin Williams' death really brought up the subject of depression and how, you know, people try and deal with it. And it's tough. And I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I have suffered from depression for years, and, you know, I try to get better. I try to ignore the negative. You know, there's little exercises that I give myself every morning. And it's tough, and people don't realize that it's not something you can shake off very quickly and you move about your day. It's an illness, and it's something that eats away at you. And it's really a shame that, you know, Robin Williams at 63 years old, he could have just rested on the laurels of all the movies and television shows that he had been in over the years. But, you know, life sometimes has a way of kicking your ass. And, man, my heart goes out to Robin Williams and the people that really loved him. You know, every comic that I was reading, the Jeffrey Ross and Amy Schumer, they all, you know, putting out tweets, Gilbert Godfrey, the wrestling community, you know, had some ties to Robin Williams. So it seems like everybody had some sort of, you know, mental and emotional attachment to this guy. And, you know, me too. Now I'm bringing in my producer and co-host, Dan McGinn. Dan, how you doing today?
Oh, not bad there, Steve. A little tired. I'm performing with the heaviest of hearts coming into this particular show. But you know, the show must go on. But it's good to be here with you.
Thank you. And thank you for being here with me. Now, you're, I think we go over this a lot. You're 33 years old, correct?
Yep.
Okay, now my wife is 25, I'm 41. Now, we have a little bit of a difference here, 8 years on all of us, okay? Now, in that eight-year span from you to Jordan and then you to me, Robin Williams has touched us in different ways where, you know, she was Aladdin and Mrs. Doubtfire. And, you know, me, I was, you know, Mork and Mindy and What Dreams May Come and Death to Smoochie. What are your favorite Robin Williams parts?
Oh, man. I mean, he is one of those characters that everybody has a favorite. And in looking at the Facebook and looking at the social media, you realize how many different roles and how many different eras this guy covered. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, I do remember way back. I didn't watch the show, really, but I just knew of it, of Mork and Mindy, when I was a child. And I was like, wow, you know, what's going on there? And then for me, I too was quite young when Aladdin and Mrs. Doubtfire. I think I remember being the first one in my particular group of friends to have Mrs. Doubtfire on VHS. I think I brought it into school so we could watch it, you know, because it was, you know, for movie day or Friday, or it was like the end of the school year or something like that. But I think when I was thinking back of like my favorite roles, I think The Birdcage was probably the one that really got me into being a legit Robin Williams fan. Like, he was more than just a goofball on television. It was quite a unique role. Him playing off of Nathan Lane was phenomenal. Just a great cast all the way through. I think that's another VHS tape. I was allowed to watch that, whether I was allowed to or not, I probably wore that tape out as well because it was just so funny. And he was just such a talent. He wasn't just, you know, kind of that goofball stand-up guy. He could do a whole lot of things. We haven't even touched upon some of the serious roles that he's been in as well.
Yeah, what about One Hour Photo? It's so creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Good Will Hunting as the professor. For me, I loved Robin Williams in a movie called What Dreams May Come. And it's a movie that, for, you know, a little backstory. My favorite writer is Richard Matheson, or was Richard Matheson, passed away in 2013. He had written What Dreams May Come, I Am Legend, Bid Time Return, which turned into Somewhere in Time, a lot of stuff for the early Twilight Zones, and this movie got me because right away, and if I spoil it for you, you should have watched it when it came out, his kids die in the first scene in a car crash, and he's at the funeral, and he has the saddest, emptiest look on his face, and even now it chokes me up, being a father and being a husband, and eventually he dies and goes to what he thinks is heaven, sees Cuba Gooding Jr., and then finds out that his wife has committed suicide, and she doesn't go to the same place as the kids and him, and he goes on this journey to find her in hell. And it is so such strong emotion from him. But that face in that scene where the kids are in the coffin and he can hear the service, but he has just got a look of pain on his face. And, it really, really, to this day still affects me. And even reading the book, I imagine Robin Williams playing that part. But another part, and a lot of guys shit on me about this, but me and Christopher Daniels agree that this was such a great underrated movie, and I don't know if you ever saw it. It was a movie called Death to Smoochie.
Yes, I agree.
I loved it from the time that I, from the first moment I watched it, and I watched it in a theater with Christopher Daniels one night, and we were between shows and we just had some time, and we just loved it because we knew a guy that was like the character of Spinner Dunn, and the Rainbow fucking Randolph was just hilarious, and Ed Norton being squeaky clean was great, and I definitely thought it was so underrated. I think it was written and directed by Danny DeVito. It's so underrated.
I remember when that movie came out, Steve, and I was thinking to myself, man, why is this getting such universal crap on it? It was like it was panned everywhere. Entertainment Weekly, I think, ranked it in the D's. It was just one of those movies where I was like, this movie has too many great people in it. There's so many people in this that I like and enjoy and have been successful in other areas. How could this possibly fail? And I think a lot of people might have had that little hesitation going into Death to Smoochie. So when I actually did see it, I think it was probably on either HBO or Showtime. I was like, I have to know for myself. I can't let critics and people I don't know tell me whether or not I should watch or like this movie. And when I actually did watch it, I was absolutely floored. I was mad at myself for having that hesitation, listening and reading stuff about that movie being so bad when I actually really enjoyed it a lot. And it was. I'm glad you said that. A movie I left out during my heyday was also Hook.
Jumanji.
Another movie I didn't quite understand that I actually did watch was The Fisher King. Was another one that was kind of like out there that was not really, wow, that's the genie from Aladdin. But no, I mean it really just went to show the kind of range this guy had as an actor and a performer.
Oh, definitely. And we hadn't even gone about his stand-up, the stuff that he did for charity, and man, it just goes to show you that, sometimes it's so sad to be, what you think you see on TV isn't what the person really is feeling inside. And man, my heart goes out to everybody that, loves Robin Williams. And I will definitely use the rest in peace for Robin Williams. Now, let's go on another thing. And I know you wanted to talk about this. And you have it listed on the format. Adios, Alberto del Rio.
sometimes I often say that sometimes you get lucky. I nailed it with Ricardo Rodriguez. And then whenever I heard that Alberto Del Rio was released as well, I was like, well, that writes itself, right? I
mean, oh my goodness, right?
There was nothing else I was going to put there. So at first I thought, because a lot of people were talking about how Del Rio was going to, you know, walk away after his contract, he wasn't going to get renewed, that sort of thing. And I mean, when you look at his career, I mean, he was pushed to the moon right away. And then after a while, people kind of got bored with him. Maybe management got bored with him. And then there was just nothing for him to do anymore. So it made sense for him to maybe try to look at other avenues, because the guy is talented. But then when you hear other stuff like conduct detrimental and, getting bumped because he allegedly assaulted somebody or pushed somebody, it's a story that got really bizarre in a hurry.
Isn't that strange? Now, I had known him a little bit in Japan when he was Dos Cars Jr., and he was doing like shoe fights, and he would have the mask on, which is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed him. I thought he was a great talent. I thought he was perfect for what, you know, they needed for a, you know, Mexican heel. But it seems weird that he would get, you know, released, and then like I saw that the WWE Twitter thing was like shit on him too.
Right. Right.
And then, like, Triple H, you know, retweeted it. I'm like, man, what the hell?
Yeah. Supposedly a social media manager, which, by the way, I think I need to update my resume so I could start applying for jobs like that. Yeah. Apparently, there might have been, and that's what the big crux of all this is if there was some sort of racial, comment made in Del Rio's either direction or in the presence of Del Rio, which led Del Rio to snap and smack this guy or shove this guy. Let me put it this way, too. If I was a social media manager, I'd be a doormat. Anybody could kick the crap out of me. I wouldn't care as long as I was getting paid. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But, and then it got kind of really over the top when guys like Conan started, like, tweeting at this employee. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, we have a war on our hands because this guy might have flew off the handle. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, what happened. It just seemed like, you know, he just went off the deep end. Was he trying to get fired? It just it was definitely strange. Definitely strange.
Well, in all honesty, what was that character going to do after a while? I mean, you look at his first year, like his first full year. He gets put in a program where he's injuring guys, and then, like, you know, fake injuring guys, and then he wins the Royal Rumble, and then goes on to WrestleMania to be in the title picture, loses, but he's still kind of in the title picture after Edge retires. Then he goes on and wins Money in the Bank and gets involved in a program with Cena and Punk at the end of 2011. This guy won the heavyweight title a couple of times. He always seemed to be involved in something, and it didn't seem like he was paying too many dues either. It seemed like he was always on top, even when he was starting to get a little stale. And, you know, he loses to Cena last year for the World Heavyweight title when Cena made his comeback from his surgery. So he was always very much involved, but he never really changed. He never really morphed. His character always seemed pretty much how it was back in end of 2010.
I agree, and you know, but he just seemed to stick around. It was really weird. So I enjoyed him. I thought, you know, he was a good character that they could have put in the. Well, what do you mean? Like, you know, they could have put him in the mid card, and he would have been fine. So I don't know, man. It's just one of those things. You just never know. You just never know. So. Hey, I want to get into something here. I hate commercials. I do. I really do. And one of the reasons I hate commercials is it affects me negatively. Whereas, like, I think commercials are supposed to affect you positively. So I asked you yesterday, what are some of the worst commercials? And I just started typing some up on our rundown sheet, and you were, like, almost growling at me. And some of the ones that I picked were, well, there's Wendy's, and I absolutely hate the Wendy's girl. I I hope Tony Stewart runs her over.
Oh, jeez.
And then there's Sonic, that guy in the passenger seat. I wish Tony Stewart would run over the Wendy's girl.
Oh, my God.
And then on the way, hit him on the side.
Too soon. Hashtag too soon.
ChristianMingle.com. I don't care if you're Christian. You're fucking annoying. Then we met. Oh, jeez. No, lady. I hate you. And then this one. Fucking Dish Network commercial on MLB Network Radio. Unbelievable. You have a phony European accent. They always just have the dumb one. And I know why you... Oh, now I know why you like the Dish Network commercial. The last one they had on MLB Network had like some Boston dude. Hey, get the hapa from Dish. I'm going to stab you with Bobby Cruz's microphone.
My dad has the hapa.
Yeah, right?
He does.
Now I know.
That's why,
hey,
man.
Man, why you use my hapa? You could do your Raw reviews. Yeah, fuck that Honor Report guy.
Oh, God. My Raw recap brought to you by Dish Network and Apple's iPad.
What's your most hated commercial?
Oh, gosh. You know, thankfully, there's things called DVR and streaming that allow you to skip over commercials these days. Sonic definitely does stick with you. And watching Raw, USA, I think, plays the same ads over and over and over again. They used to have like a... I used to love... Actually, it was kind of a guilty pleasure. They used to have a commercial for taxes every April that had the song This Is How We Do It playing in the background. That would always make me chuckle. But, oh, gosh. I mean, there are so many. Sonic, though, is definitely up there. There's a... I don't know if they're all over the place, but in New England, there's a company called WB Mason. They do office supplies.
Yes.
And they're an official sponsor of the Red Sox broadcasts, and those are truly wretched. I mean, they're awful. Like, I have to leave the room or mute. My dad started silent baseball back in the day where he would just watch games on mute. Some of it might have had to do with the fact that I was an announcer and he would want me to call games while he had it on mute for practice, but...
Come on, Dan, call us to call it.
Come on, Pedroia's up.
Oh, man. Yeah, I get affected negatively by by commercials. And, like, I won't go to Subway anymore. You know, Jared, I hate him. You know, I don't care that he's not fat anymore. I'm fat, and I still don't like the taste of Subway's food. Oh, disgusting.
By the way, can I call you out on something, speaking of this fat thing? So, last week, and for those of you that have not listened yet, you should listen to episode 15, Ricky Landell, an excellent interview, some great stories. But they started the conversation talking about being fat, and if you listen closely, actually, you probably don't even have to listen all that closely, but Steve, on his second question, was eating, I don't know, I was pretending you were eating Girl Scout cookies, but it could have been anything, but you could definitely tell that he had his mouth full while asking this question, just after talking about being fat.
And you're sending me, like, a little instant messages, are you eating? I'm sorry, man, I think I was eating, like, pasta, too, like, not like I was trying to, you know, eat something real easy, but, yeah. I have an eating problem.
That's the old school broadcasters I used to either intern for or work with through my career. Some guys wouldn't even touch soda. They didn't want to touch anything with any type of carbonation because it might interfere, or maybe they would, you know, be in the middle of a nice monologue and all of a sudden they'd start belching or get gassy. It was like, you know, they really kept to a particular diet. It was like water, tea, and that was it for like a 4-hour game. It was incredible. I could never do that.
I wish
that.
I could.
Never do that.
I wish I could do that stuff. But hey, I got, you know, I'm sure you've seen this. Everybody's seen it. The Tony Stewart incident that happened, and, you know, I just joked about it because nothing's too soon. But, man, there's been a lot of shit going on about that, huh?
Yeah, I in researching the show today, I wanted to kind of read some articles. I don't know the culture, the subculture of like a professional NASCAR driver on his spare time doing kind of like, and I don't want to say exhibition because the guys who are racing are professionals as well, but doing these kind of dirt road tracks, you know, and all kinds of, you know, it's like, it is kind of like an exhibition, but it's, you know, it's a big deal in certain areas, these dirt tracks, unofficial races. And I don't know why this kid was getting out of his car with, you know, people still racing on the road. I know there was stuff about a caution flag and this and that, but, and I know Tony Stewart has been known to do similar antics in his career, but I have no idea why, what would possess somebody to get out of a car after, you know, having a little bit of a crash. I mean, you're not, it's not like you're on the highway. It's not like you're on like some side street in the suburbs. You're on a racetrack with people at high speeds flying by you. I know I'm supposed to feel sympathy for the victim here, but it just seems like, you know, why are you putting yourself in that position in the first place?
Well, I have to tell you this story because I was at my in-laws last weekend, and, you know, I'm with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. My brother-in-law is real funny, and he, you know, but he's a big racing fan. He's talking about everything, and I'm like, all right, man, all right, you know. And I have this secret, but, like, my wife knows, and, you know, I once talked about it on the XOC podcast, but one day I actually hit somebody in a car. Mm. Now, once I let that sink in, let me tell you this story, because this story that I'm going to tell you is 100% true. 100%. No lie. And I don't know why it all happened to me, but it was freaking crazy. So it's the year 2000. I'm in ECW. I work an indie show in North Carolina. I was living in Pennsylvania at the time. I was just, you know, freshly divorced from Colby's mother. And so Colby's about almost 4 years old at the time. So this indie show flies me and Colby down. But I had to leave from Baltimore. It was just a little easier for them to pay for the ticket that way. Plus, they were paying for Colby's ticket. We go down, we do the show, we fly back that night. So we have a late flight. We get into Baltimore and BWI, and we start driving up. And I had borrowed my sister's car, the apartment that I lived in. Me and Colby had lived on the third floor, and my sister had lived in like a studio apartment on the first floor. I don't know how the circumstances happened, but whether she asked to borrow my car or I asked to borrow her car. No, I think she needed mine. So I take her car, which was like a Intrepid. Me and Colby leave Baltimore. We're driving home, and we're just getting on to 95. And up ahead, I see a guy literally, you know, swerve. I'm like, the hell is that? I mean, it's late at night, but I see this guy swerve, and I think, well, that's weird. He must have tried to miss a deer or something like that. And that quick, as I'm driving to my left, over my shoulder, here comes a guy across the highway. And I couldn't stop, you know? So he tries to jump over the car. Now, this is a Dodge Intrepid. He hits the windshield and goes. I yell, holy shit. Now, remember, this is the year 2000. I'm a fucking star now, you know? Mm-hmm. So I pull over, and I have a four-year-old kid in the back, and I'm like, oh, my God, what the hell? So I call 911 real quick, and the only thing I could get out to 911 is I just killed someone. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know? So they're like, where? And I try to. But within a couple of minutes, and I saw a car, like, you know, stop behind maybe 60, 70 yards. Okay, so I get out of the car and I pop up, but I don't, like, I can't run to the guy to see, you know, how dead he is because I have the four-year-old. Like, what do? Get him out of the car seat. And this guy runs up to me and goes, hey, man, he's alive. And I go, I just called the police. He goes, okay, man, he's alive, though, so we got to go. I go, wait, where are you going? Guy goes, I got warrants. I go, no fucking way.
Oh, no.
So you know, and I have like an ECW warm-up jacket on, and I'm thinking, I'm going to jail. I just killed somebody, and I'm going to jail. So it gets to the point where here come the cops, and, you know, the first cop is, hey, you know, how did you do this, and how did you kill this guy, and he is giving me shit. Second cop that comes up looks at me and goes, hey, are you Steve Carino from ECW? I'm like, yes, sir. You know, I am freaking out. And then there's like a woman cop, and she's with Colby, and Colby is just like, the guy just ran out front of my daddy's car, right? And, you know, what a witness he is. So I was like, oh, this is cool. And no, it wasn't cool. But so all of a sudden, maybe 10 minutes go by, and they have, you know, the ambulance there. Then all of a sudden, they start yelling, down, 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 down. And we, everybody has to get down, right? And all these big lights come popping up, and guns are, you know, out. And thinking, what the fuck? And it ends up where they end up, like, getting another guy from across the way. And they, you know, they got their guns, and they bring him. They're like, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I heard the – and he looks like a mess. He goes, oh, I heard what was going on, but, you know, this, you know, guy getting hit. They're like, well, how did you hear it? You're in the middle of nowhere. And then another, like, cop, like, radios in and says, hold that guy. So they hold the guy, and then they come. It ends up that there is, like, a couple blocks of cocaine in this car, right? They were doing a drug deal. And all of a sudden, like, so all of a sudden everybody's being cool to me, and they're like, you're a hero, you're a hero. And I'm like, wait, what? Then I go, well, what about the windshield? Like my sister's windshield. And this, it feels like it took forever. It might have been like 2:30 in the morning now. Now I gotta drive all the way from Baltimore to you know, suburban Philadelphia in this Intrepid, and it was like I was like Ace Ventura going and, you know, looking, you know, outside the window. And there was like three different tolls I had to go through. None of the toll takers were very sympathetic. So my thing is that maybe, like, this guy had drugs in his car and Tony Stewart just ran him over to be a hero. Because it happens.
Well, that's a new one. That's definitely a new one.
Yeah. It cost me $500 for my sister's windshield. Oh, man. Yeah, on that note, tell me where you can find the hero Steve Carino at.
Should we have a show next week, you can find it by going to placetobenation.com and clicking on the Steve Carino Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, you know iTunes, you will automatically receive the latest episodes of the Steve Carino Show. You can also visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad devices. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter. The official Twitter for us is at Steve Carino Show. You can also follow at @place2bnation and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. Finally, if you have questions, suggestions, love, whatever you want for that last segment of this program, you can email us at stevecarinoshow@placetobenation.com, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com, or of course, tweet at us. Steve Carino Show. Steve!
Hey, that's beautiful. Always beautiful. When we come back, Corey Hollis will be joining us, and I got a little story to tell you about how I was quite the menace in front of my family. That's coming up next on the Steve Carino Show.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav, we watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Yo, could I get a cold beverage? I need some leverage, a sweaty ass, as a lemonade would be nice, stop a spice from the top to a VK. Got a bar, got a drink, but girls got the bait on the front board, see, I got some ice tea. If you like a taste of tea, then come along with me.
Hey, we're back on this week's edition of Steve Perino Show. Before we get to Corey Hollis, I need to confess a little bit of story. Not like the same story I told in segment one, but, which is a classic story. It's a story of wedding. I went to a wedding last weekend before the ROH show. We got up there a little bit early, and myself, my wife, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, we joined up with my mother-in-law and father-in-law, and we went to a wedding of these great people, Ian and Emily, and it was very nice, a gorgeous scenery and stuff like that. And I don't know, maybe I'm not like the most social person in the entire world, so and I like to drink beer. And like when I drink beer, I know that like I can drink a whole bunch of beer and not get out of hand. Unfortunately, they didn't have the beer that I liked. They only had Corona, which tastes like pee. And, you know, Yingling Lager, which, you know, I'm trying to watch my weight, so I don't need that stuff. So I had to go to rum and coke.
And that's
not a good go-to.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
I hear that's where the story took an unfortunate turn.
Well, how did you hear that? I'm the one telling you the story.
Well, I have my sources, and one of them has agreed to identify herself and join us on the air right now. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. You mentioned your mother-in-law a minute ago. Well, I have your mother-in-law right here, Shell Pack, making a triumphant return to this program for the first time since Mother's Day. Welcome back to the program, Shell Pack.
Thanks, Dan. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm certainly not as great as from what I heard Steve was this past weekend.
Oh, he was classic, that's for sure.
Now, yeah, I don't know where I took the wrong turn. When it came to the rum and coke, I think it was because it was hot out and they tasted good and stuff like that. But I ran out of a number, and then like things were normal. I was doing, you know, I was being me, and then I don't know what happened. Like how did it, like, because it's fuzzy, and usually I don't get fuzzy drunk. When did I end up on the dance floor?
That was sort of towards the end of the evening.
So there was stuff before this.
There was, yeah. You were fine through dinner. Everything was good. And the next thing I know, you're standing up and you're sort of like, you know, dancing by yourself, standing there. And then you're looking out on the dance floor and you head out there. You grab Casey and head out there, and her southern thing is she's always going to shake her shit.
My sister-in-law.
You yell, I'm going to go shake my shit with Casey and go out on the dance floor. And you're doing these moves that I can't say I've ever actually seen before. They didn't look bad, but just haven't seen them before. And you were dancing with absolutely anybody out on the floor. You were started with Casey. Then you moved around. There was Emily's elderly aunt, you had her out there spinning her around.
Wait, what? No.
Jordan was like, oh my God, I've never, ever seen him like this before.
She was horrified, wasn't she?
No, she was laughing. Everybody was laughing. You're a happy drunk. I mean, you were laughing, joking with everybody, talking to everybody. We've just never seen you like that before. You were yelling, I'm a penny packer, which is our last name. And I don't know if that was such a good thing to be, but you were happy with it that night. And it was just hysterical. You were, there was two different bars. There was one inside, one outside. And you're sort of just leaning up against the bar. People are coming through the line to get their drink. And you told every single person, I'd buy you a drink, but they're fucking free. So have which one? It was just classic. And then we go to leave, and you were worried about me being the designated driver. And
oh, I was worried about that all day.
Yeah, worried that I was going to be trustworthy to drive everybody home, which I was. I had quit drinking early, and I was absolutely fine. But you were a little, you know, reluctant to let me drive, hand me the keys. But we got there and stopped at another bar on the way home where they rightfully didn't serve you. But I don't even remember if you – I don't even know if you remember being there at all. But
I remember being there a little bit. I don't remember getting flagged, though. I don't think I've ever gotten flagged before.
Well, we didn't even try to order you something. We sort of just went in and said, you know, knowing the bartenders there, said, don't worry, he's not ordering anything. And – just sort of gave you a water and, you know, went from there. But then we got home and you came in and we all sort of went on, out on the patio, had a little after party type thing, and you about fell off the swing on the patio and then decided you were going to bed and came in and laid down on the couch in the family room, and that was it. You were just done. And everybody.
Yeah, I do remember that. I think that's when I threw up.
I didn't even know you threw up though. So
yeah, I went to the toilet. I threw up real quick. And
yeah. Well, then Jordan came in and said, "I'm going to take him back to bed." And then you guys went back to the bedroom, and then that was it. We didn't see you again till the next day. But I didn't know you actually got sick till the next day. So yeah. I didn't know you did. But
what a mess, right?
Yeah. Well, what did Dan say? At least you know when you get drunk like that, you're happy drunk. You're not, you know,
right?
You're not nasty or mean or anything. And as you know, Rob said, I think we finally broke him. He's he's finally an official member of the family now. And whatever. And it is on video, by the way.
I got to see this.
Oh, Jordan has. You'll have to ask Jordan. She's got the dance floor video. And we took some video in the car. It's very dark. You can't see it, but the audio on it is perfect. He's trying to get Dan to play some songs, and we're in the middle of nowhere through a state park on the way home, and there's no cell service, and he keeps yelling, you wanted to hear Jersey Girl, and...
Oh, a little Springsteen.
A little Springsteen, and he couldn't even have service, and it was pretty classic. It was classic.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Well, let me ask you this. Was cinnamon roll vodka involved in any of the proceedings?
No, it wasn't. But we did have, earlier, we had the caramel vodka.
Oh, God.
For shots. That was just the girls had those. And I did, when I was trying to tell Steve later that I was okay to drive, when he asked me how many of those I had, I really didn't want to say, but... Some time had passed till I was ready for those, but I've seen that cinnamon roll stuff. I can't imagine that it would be very good.
Oh, it's rough. It's rough. I can still feel it burning, and that was last week.
No, I've seen it. I've never had it. I'm not a real big fan of the flavored vodka. I like mine with peach schnapps and a little bit of lime juice.
Mm.
Straight up. That's my fave with the vodka.
Mm.
Oof. Yeah.
Well, maybe next week, Steve, we can you know, ease you back into it a little bit and go from there.
We'll get some beer when you come down this weekend.
Okay, we'll stick to beer. That'll be good.
Well, Shelpak, thank you for coming on. Sorry, I embarrassed the family.
No, not at all.
Hey, I will see you on Sunday, as we will be going to the Virginia Zoo together. Apparently.
Yes, sounds good. We're looking forward to it.
Awesome. That was my mother-in-law, Shellpack. You can follow her at Shellpack. She's pretty awesome. And, hey, soon. And on the phone right now, we got a buddy of mine who is rising through professional wrestling very fast, and I'm so excited because, you know, there's a lot of good guys out there, and, you know, not all of them have the drive to become a superstar, but this guy does. On the line right now, we got Corey Hollis. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Now, for those who don't know, Corey's been around for a couple years out of Alabama. You know, started to make a little name for himself as part of Alabama Attitude with Mike Posey, but more recently and even better in my humble opinion, has been teaming with Adam Page as Country Jacked in a couple different promotions, including PWX in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, and really starting to make some waves. Now, Corey, how did you break into professional wrestling?
Well, you know, just like everybody really, you know, that who really loves wrestling, I've always been a fan since I was a little kid. And, you know, ever since I was little, that's what I always told everybody I was going to do. And it was my senior year of wrestling, and there was these kids that did backyard wrestling for me, or right next to me. And I'm not saying I did, and I'm not saying I didn't, but I really did do a little bit of it. But I wouldn't do any of that hardcore mess because, you know, I got a pretty face and all.
Sure do.
So, but they rented out a ring from a guy named Will Owens. And he, you know, all he was doing was just getting his money and letting these kids play in the ring. And I got in there and I showed interest that I actually, this is what I want to do. This is, I haven't thought about doing anything else my entire life but wanting to be a pro wrestler. And so I get in there and he actually teaches everybody how to bump and, you know, all that stuff. And I just got out of wrestling high school, amateur wrestling, like a week before. And so I'm bumping and everything, learning how to bump. And just like everybody else, it rocks your head for a second. And then he's like, get up, do five more. And I started doing more. And, you know, I started catching on with it. And he, you know, he was like, you've never been in a ring before? I was like, no, sir, this is my first time. And he goes, is this something you want to do? I was like, I would love an opportunity. And that's what I feel like my whole career has been based off of, is just, you know, making opportunities for myself. And from then on, I trained for about a year, from March of 2008 to March of 2009. And since then, we've been nonstop.
Wow, so you've only been wrestling right around 6 years, huh?
Yeah, about 5 years.
5 years, wow, man.
Five and a half.
It's so good. So now, the first time we met, was it at PWX?
No, we wrestled in Ring of Honor, like my second match ever in Ring of Honor.
Really?
Yeah, you teamed with Andy Ridge against me and Posey.
That's right, that's right. When I was doing the babyface stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, I was just barely 2 years in, too.
Wow, 2 years in. Man, and already on TV. Now, you're teaming now with Adam Page in a lot of indies. Now, people that watch Ring of Honor and stuff like that, they see Adam Page as one of the quote-unquote young boys with the decade. Now, I know guys like myself, and I am sure Adam does it himself, you know, too, is pushing for you to be a part of either the decade or doing Country Jacked in Ring of Honor. Now, and you've had a couple really good matches in Ring of Honor. What do you see is the thing that's going to make you stand out?
I really feel right now it's all about timing and being in the right place at the right time. For me, I know who I am now and I know what I am. With Alabama Attitude, I was still trying to figure out what I was and who I was, and still had the same sense I was pretending to be something that I wasn't. Now I know who I am, and now I know what I can do for the company. I just need to, you know, given that opportunity to run with it, and hopefully soon everybody will get to see that opportunity.
I think so too, because you know, you're one of those untapped talents that can do so much, whether it be, you know, a heel or a baby face. And I definitely think, you know, it's crazy because when I booked PWX, you were like, you know, one of my top heels, but I would definitely see a lot of people getting into you. And I saw it against Jimmy Jacobs, and I saw it in the a top prospects tournament this year. You know, getting into the babyface side of Corey Hollis, what do you feel more comfortable doing?
Either or. I love doing both. Either or is always fun and exciting for me. When it comes down to it, I love being a heel just because of, you know, the more freedom that you get as a heel. But, you know, I love doing both either or. I just love being in a wrestling ring and I just love being there. But at the same time, you know, I'm ready to make a mark and start doing good for everybody.
Now on the line, we got Corey Hollis, Country Jack Corey Hollis. And you can see him if you're in Eastern North Carolina on Friday night, August 22nd at the Hubert Bingo Hall, ProWrestlingPWF.com. He'll be taking on Chip Day, who he knows so well. And I'm so excited, you know, putting this one together. You know, I even have it advertised as this is pro wrestling. Now, you're coming off a very critically acclaimed quick series a few weekends back at the Legends Fest with the Wolves. Now, how did I knew you were excited for it, and I knew Adam was excited for it. But what was your experiences dealing with, you know, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards on such an important weekend?
Oh man, I really feel like that weekend is what is helping, you know, make Country Jack what it's becoming, and it's happening so fast too. Even though it was just a few weeks ago that we had these matches, you know, nerves weren't really that big of a deal, as strange as it seems, because. Yeah, you know, I've wrestled Davey and Eddie both in PWX before, and, you know, and just I feel like wrestling them already prepared me and Adam both for this, you know, opportunity, because Adam's wrestled them both. And, you know, we've actually both in singles matches on the indies have, you know, done a lot for ourselves this year. And, you know, me getting to wrestle AJ and him, you know, wrestling Adam Pierce and all the different types of things we're getting to do. And, you know, coming as a tag team, we've also just coming off a really – great match with the Bravados at PWX that, you know, got a little bit of talk, you know, but I really believe that that weekend with Davey and Eddie really helped us. And, you know, it was fun. It was relaxing. And, you know, we were just out there trying to have fun, and that's what it was. It was really, really fun.
Now, do you think with guys that, you know, Davey and Eddie at the time we're taping this are still the TNA World Tag Team Champions, do you think it becomes a little bit more, you know, you've wrestled them before, but now you're more even more confident in your abilities, not just, you know, with, okay, you know, I know I can work and I know they can work, but you're confident in your abilities to get the match that you guys need to get over where you're at. Did that have a factor in it?
I really believe so, because, like, the first time, like, I wrestled Davey back in, like, 2011. That's when he was, like, really, really hot. And he just won the Ring of Honor World title. And, you know, like, I was still, you know, I'm not saying I'm not a kid anymore. I'm still a kid, but I was even a much of a younger kid back then when I first wrestled him. And, you know, he was big influence on my type of style that I was trying at the time. And, you know, after I had that singles match with him, and then after I had a singles match with Eddie, you know, I just really felt like, okay, you know, they're just like me. They're just trying to do exactly what I'm doing. And, you know, after the Fan Fest weekend, it was just like, it was more, I felt like me and Adam got a little bit of a validation from them. And that's what made that so weekend so special for us.
Hey, did you find Davey a little weird?
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't?
Right. He's a pretty strange guy.
Yeah.
Now, it still blows my mind that you've only been wrestling 5 years, because, you know, on the June 20th PWF show, and you can watch it on ProWrestlingPWF.com, we have the show up there, you take on American Tiger, and it was just one of those matches, even if I wasn't emotionally involved, you know, with the two of you, that I had gotten into, because it was such a great, you know, you could definitely tell who the teacher and who the student was, and you know, you had taken that role of, you know, you're going to lead him and you're going to make sure that he gives 120% and then a little bit more and kick it into overdrive. And I believe it was a match that really made him think like, oh my goodness, you know, I could do this if I could hang with Corey Hollis. Do you see yourself being sometimes in that a little bit of a teacher role?
I've just been thinking about that a lot here in these past few weeks, especially, you know, going into the match with the Wolves and coming off that, and, you know, just the response I've been getting from a bunch of the guys and everything, You know, I really feel like I'm becoming that guy now, and I'm not just coming up as a top, you know, up-and-coming guy. I'm, like, one of the guys. And it's weird to even, like, even think that, but, like, you know, I feel like people are starting to look up to me as that role. You know, in 5 years, you know, that's not a long time, but I feel like I've done so much already, you know. And
well, I agree, and I believe that that's what makes you, you know, a guy to book, because, you know, you can have that confidence in, oh, this is a young guy, but he can do so much and knows what to do. You get it. And I think, you know, I had said you were an up and comer, but I also, like, I think it's one of those, like, it's a category of, it's just a matter of time, you know, instead of up and comer.
Yeah, and, exactly.
I mean, we should start that. It's just a matter of time. Hey, Corey, we're running low on time, but where can people find you on Twitter?
My Twitter name is very easy to find. All you got to do is find me at Corey Hollis, C-O-R-E-Y, and Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S. It's very easy to find me on there. And I'm all over the social media stuff. It's just very easy to find me on everything.
What if they want to book you? Do they just go through Twitter, or do
they can? Yeah, they can message me on Facebook. I have an email, cthollis101@yahoo.com. Some people choose to, but they don't have to, go through Bill Barons at showbiz@aol.com.
Now, once again, you can see Corey Hollis against Chip Day Friday night, August 22nd at the PWF Arena, the Hubert Bingo Hall in Hubert, North Carolina, prowrestlingpwf.com. Where are you at this weekend?
This weekend, I'm at PWX in, I believe it's Hickory, North Carolina. Me and Adam Page will definitely be teaming up, and we don't know who we're taking on yet, but guarantee you it's going to be something for everybody to see if you're in that area.
And I think their website is pwxwrestling1.com, if I'm right.
I think that's right? The Twitter. The Twitter is pwxwrestling1. Oh, I know that.
Yeah. You can check the PWX out on Twitter at PWXWrestling1, and I'm sure you can find the website. Hey, Corey, thank you so much for coming on the Steve Carino Show this week.
Thank you for having me, Steve. It means the world.
Oh, no problem. I will definitely see you soon. And everyone out there, you have to check out Corey Hollis. Make sure you can even check him out on ProWrestlingPWF.com against American Tiger, and then in a very frustrating six-man that I thought I'd put together, but Ricky Morton had changed it.
yeah.
Hey, man, until I see you again, you take care, okay?
All right, Steve. Love you.
I love you, too. Hey, when we come back on the Steve Carino Show, it's going to be some Twitter Q&A and, of course, some love. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show.
And I don't believe in time.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island, and look for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar. Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
And now, time for some Twitter Q&A and a little bit of love with the King of Old School and Dan, too, on the Steve Corino Show. King, take it away.
Hey, we're back, and it's the final segment of the Steve Corino Show. Big thanks to Country Jack Corey Hollis for the interview, and thanks to my mother-in-law, Shell Pack, for setting the story straight of my shenanigans at the wedding last week. Next to me right now is my wife, Jordan, who also would like to throw her two cents in about what kind of menace I was at the wedding. Was I an embarrassment to you?
No, you weren't. It was just,
how can I not be?
Because it was really funny. I've never seen you like that before.
I don't get like that much.
You were more drunk than I was.
Which time? You were pretty drunk on vacation. Right? Dan
but
knows.
But I mean, at the wedding itself, I think you were more drunk than I was.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
The rum and cokes were, like, you're hitting me hard. It was hot out.
It wasn't. We were in an air-conditioned building.
And I ate a lot of ice. I was parched. I was suffering from a cold. When did you know I was getting out of hand?
You know, I don't really exactly remember everything, so I'm not quite sure.
See, and if she can't remember it, doesn't mean it happened.
I just remember dancing, and then all of a sudden you were on the dance floor.
Now, who solicited me to dance?
Think you did it yourself.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
I never do that.
Oh, you'd be dancing with us, and then you'd wander away into the crowd of people and dance with other people.
My dancing ability consists of the hot dog dance.
His signature song that he did, and we have video to it, is the Apple Bottom Jeans song. And it's the one where it goes, he would get low, 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 low. And he would go all the way down and move his hips all the way down and then jump up and clap his hands in the air.
Every single time the
chorus came on.
Now, was that part of the dance? Was everybody else doing that or was it just me?
Everybody else was getting low, but they weren't clapping, was it?
I like to clap.
I got to maybe talk to the powers that be. I think the Apple Bottom Jeans Boots with the Fur song needs to be playing over our final segment this week.
And then he did this dance during that song where he was walking like up and down the side of the dance floor and he like put his arms in the air and he just kept walking. Then he'd turn around and walk back. And then Casey,
my sister-in-law,
mm-hmm.
was dancing with him, and he would bend over so she'd slap his butt.
And now, like, you gotta understand, I've been a part of this family for like 2 years now, but I've never, you know, me and Casey are like, we give each other the hug hello, the hug goodbye, but we don't really, like, you know, we talk, and I like her, she likes me, but like, I think we bonded that night.
Went to a whole new level that night.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
But my family finally feels like they, like, broke him into the family.
But yeah, he's a penny packer now, from what I've heard.
Exactly. Took long enough, but it happened.
Unbelievable, right? What kind of role model am I? Hey, we got some Twitter Q&A, love, and I don't even want to hear any goddamn music this week.
Oh, it's coming.
Let's just get into it.
It's all coming. Right. So they had them apple bottom jean boots with the fur. The whole club was
looking at her. She hit the floor. Steve J. Rogers Jr. is back. He says, that's Steve Franco. Maybe guy that hates baseball talk will like this. Are you ready for some football? Now, Steve Rogers, you've been reported for spam. I hate football.
You don't like football?
I hate football.
Oh.
I don't get it. I don't like it. Although I watched the Super Bowl, of course, and my wife was fascinated that I knew about football. But, you know, I'll read stuff about football so that, like, I have something to conversate with people that, like, I have nothing else to talk to them about. Like, make sure that I know my shit. But, yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, they're big football guys over at the Place to Be Nation. They have all different leagues and stuff. The first time I actually hung out with Justin one-on-one, we were watching a pay-per-view at a very dive pizzeria in his area. And I think he had his computer up. He had like four different leagues going. It was incredible. And he was more upset with the fact that somebody for the Bills, Fitzpatrick, threw an interception late. Or maybe it wasn't the Bills. Maybe it was Tennessee. He was more upset that he threw a pick late in the game than his own beloved Jets losing earlier that day. It was, you would have died. You would have hated him. You might have smacked him.
Oh, that would have been crazy. Yeah, I'm just, I don't know. I'm trying. I'm going to try again this year. I don't have a team. I think that's the problem. Okay, Jordan just yelled Eagles. But I'm like an Eagles the band fan, not like Eagles the – and then, you know, but like where we live in North Carolina, the Carolina Panthers are a six-hour drive west. The Atlanta Falcons are 6 hours south. The Washington, whatever they are, racists are 6 hours north. So it's tough. So most likely I'll end up an Eagles fan this year. So because my brother-in-law is a big Eagles fan. And I know that he's going to push, you know, his Eagles love on the baby. So I got to get behind it too.
You know who else likes the Eagles?
Michael Vick.
Well, maybe not so much anymore. But the Bella twins like the Eagles.
Do they?
Yeah.
Ah.
You and the Bellas.
Yeah. Can't wait for Total Divas Season 3.
All right. I haven't watched a minute of Total Divas, by the way.
You'll love it. The first season, the first half of the first season, eh. But, you know, it really picked up. I like it.
All right. Another big fan of yours, at JDVirgilio4, he writes, at Steve Carino Show, I will meet the Young Bucks in Philly on Saturday, and I'm a huge fan of them. So what is your favorite Young Bucks match?
Oh, there's so many. I love those guys, man. They're just so talented and so fluid, and it's so hard to call a Young Bucks match because there's so much going on and it's a lot of whoa, oh, ow, oh, you know, I can't even get the moves down. I think I admitted it when they wrestled Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian last week at Ring of Honor, but I think the last match that they did with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, where they had just dropped the World Tag Team titles to Red Dragon, is just absolutely my favorite because, you know, just so fluid, and I love tag team wrestling, and to me, the Young Bucks just make it look so easy and so fluid. They're so good. Holy shit.
Yeah, that War of the Worlds match was phenomenal, as I think that's the event you're speaking of. And I've seen them a bunch on various tapes of Chikara in the past, you know, in the King of in the Trios matches and that sort of thing. They are truly something special, and they're the type of guys, too. I don't really know them the way you'd probably do, but they're the type of guys you want to root for and see them as they continue to develop over the course of their careers.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Awesome guys. You know, I am a big fans of them professionally and personally. Young Bucks are pretty awesome. Now, that was it for questions. I'm very ashamed of people that are listening to the Steve Carino Show. Hey, we answer your questions, but you have to send them in first at Steve Carino Show. you know, Dan has this great announcer voice, and he spends the end of every segment one telling you how to get your goddamn questions in. He tweets it out on Mondays, tells me, hey, man, you got to retweet me because I'm dying here. We do Twitter Q&A and love for you guys, not for me. So get it in, at Steve Carino Show on Twitter, and we'll answer your questions. So we got a little bit of love. T-Dog HG's back this week. Our boy Thomas Simpson. What an awesome podcast with Ricky Landell. Lots of great memories. And, yeah, it was cool. Ricky finally got to listen to it today and loved it. So we were happy to have Ricky Landell on. We'll definitely have him back on again in the future.
Yeah, and if this is the first time you hear us, the Twitter love is great because oftentimes guys like Thomas will tell you about shows that have already happened that were also really great. So also, Fish Approved writes today at Steve Carino Show, re-listen to your interview with Greg Valentine. It was great, especially the part where you two put the boots to Brutus Beefcake.
Yeah, I hate Brutus Beefcake. He is a shit cake. I wish Tony Stewart would run over Brutus Beefcake.
Oh, Jesus. Jeez. Sorry,
honey. Oh, sorry, Dan.
Why don't you could have gone a different direction. You could have been like, man, I really wish that Del Rio would slap the taste out of that guy or something like right. that. But no, you have to go immediately to Tony Stewart.
I wish Del Rio would slap that plate right out of Beefcake's face. Yeah. Hate him. Hate. SummerSlam is coming up on this Sunday. And, man, I'm excited for the show. I will actually be appearing at Dave & Buster's in Virginia Beach, Virginia, at a SummerSlam viewing party. So I will be there to sign autographs, do a little bit of Q&A, and sit down and watch SummerSlam on the WWE Network, which is only $9.99. And before that, we're going to go to the zoo, which will be pretty cool. But so we're going to do our SummerSlam preview. Dan, if you can... We'll run down the card. We'll give our little predictions, and we'll see next week who's right.
Yeah, of course, this is as of when we recorded, which is on a Tuesday. Obviously, a lot can happen between now and Friday and SmackDown and main events and that sort of thing. But these are the matches that we are going to showcase for you. No pre-show match has been announced yet, so we're just going to go in order from what I have on my list here. And we're going to start with the Lumberjack match featuring Dean Ambrose versus Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins.
Now, I'm pissed off because apparently somebody creative is watching their PWF, you know, press release to see that Gluteus Maximus and Jagger will be appearing in one next Friday. But, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? I hate when guys do that. Oh, man, WWE's stealing my shit. Now, they don't know about you. This should be good. Somehow I see Seth Rollins escaping.
I do. Whether or not it's like somebody in the Lumberjacks that it was paid off by the authority to take out Ambrose or something of that sort, I think you still keep Rollins hot because, you know, there's always that intrigue around this time where maybe this is where you're going to cash in that briefcase. So, I mean, I made a comment. When was the last time a Lumberjack match was actually a predominant match on your pay-per-view? I don't think it's ever happened, to be honest with you. So I'm sure the loyalists will correct me on that. But it's really weird. This is a real old-school booking. Like, this almost feels like it's out of place. Like, this should be in the 80s or 90s, this type of a match. But here it is, 2014, and one of your marquee matches, second, third, fourth off the board, is going to be a Lumberjack match. Isn't that kind of interesting?
I think it's very interesting, especially against two of your... you know, your future stars. So I'm excited. I see Seth Rollins somehow escaping with the victory.
All right. Moving on, a match that could very well be lost in the shuffle, I think, in the whole scheme of things. The Intercontinental Championship will be on the line as The Miz will defend against Dolph Ziggler.
I think this is your number two match. And I'm sorry, a couple of years ago I would have been so excited for it. But now I'm not. I'm sorry. I really don't know, you know, what would make me excited about it. But, yeah, just not excited at all. I see The Miz somehow you know, just like Rollins, two heels up. I see the Miz keeping the Intercontinental belt.
I don't know what they gain so much from flip-flopping this belt over and over again. I think you're trying to legitimize, I think, the secondary titles, particularly if you have a scenario where Brock Lesnar has the belt and he's not on television. You need to have somebody defending something, right? So, I mean, you know, they bring the Miz back. I don't know what Dolph gains necessarily from winning the IC belt. He's had it before. I just think it could be a very good match. I just don't think, storyline-wise, this is really going to go anywhere.
I don't think so either, but, you know, we'll see. I hope it does, but, man, you know, because you want guys to get over and be good and all that fun stuff, but, you know, it's sometimes you get lost in that shuffle.
I'm going to skip the next one. I'm going to move on to it, and I'll go back to this one, but we'll do the Divas Championship match next. It's AJ versus Paige. Of course, they fought at the last pay-per-view, and this has been quite a unique rivalry in the sense that you have Paige kind of blindly continuing to mock AJ, but also try to be her friend, but then it will attack her. It's kind of an interesting angle. It's kind of getting lost with the whole Stephanie Bree stuff, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But I've actually kind of enjoyed this. I know people are kind of down on Paige, but I've actually kind of enjoyed her heel work in this particular feud. So I think this could be a very good match at the end of the day. They already have fought before, and I think with each time they go out there, that's only going to get better.
I think so, too. And then, you know, seeing AJ in the babyface role is a little strange, but she's doing a great job of it. And I'm going with AJ.
All right. So we're keeping the belt there. In a flag match, and again, another kind of odd stipulation, but it makes sense with the storyline that's being built up here. It's the All-American, or the All-American-American, or the Real American, Jack Swagger, taking on Rusev.
I don't think Swagger's the guy to beat Rusev. I think Rusev's going to steamroll over everybody until it is time for him to lose to Cena.
Yeah, you've been steadfast on that particular plan for a long time now. So
he is going to be fed to Cena.
Might as well stick with it. I don't know. I think maybe they might be cooling off on Rusev. I mean, they'd really have to be turned on by Jack Swagger in order to pull the trigger on this one. But I'm not sure if Rusev is the big monster that they were hoping he would be. But yeah, it does seem kind of weird to see Swagger in a big spot like this. So maybe
yeah, especially defeating Cesaro, who was already in the ring, which was, you know, disheartening. But you know how it goes.
I did make that comment in my Raw recap, but we'll do our plugs later. Moving on, singles match. This is probably the hottest storyline going right now, which is kind of sad, in my opinion. It's Brie Bella taking on Stephanie McMahon, one-on-one.
I don't know. This is my second favorite match of the card. I think they've done an awesome job of setting it up. The promos have been spot on. It's been great, and I'm going to say it, and I know it's been said before. Nikki Bella turns.
Ah.
No. Did you hear Jordan?
I did.
No.
I finally, you know, I've been carrying the banner of hating on this in my reviews and my writings over the last few weeks, but I had to give the devil his due this past week on Raw. The reaction, the crowd was just eating this story up. They definitely want to see Brie really hurt Stephanie and see where this goes, and I'm kind of surprised by it. I never thought in a million years that this sort of a matchup would carry Raw over a 3-week stretch, but it has. I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due in that regard. I mean, those McMahons are heat magnets. So, but I do agree, although I don't see the appeal of a Nikki versus Brie match. But I guess we'll see what happens from there.
Well, I think with, you know, season 3 of Total Divas coming, you're going to get the thing, you know, my boyfriend's better than your boyfriend, yada, yada, yada. And it might not be the guys that are the, you know, heel and baby face, it'll be their girls.
Okay, all right.
I'm booking this shit right now.
All right. Yeah, and then you'll become big time, and then you won't have to do this show anymore, and...
I was already planning that.
Okay. Next up, a singles match. It'll be Bray Wyatt versus Chris Jericho. The only thing that's really going on here is the fact that both Luke Harper and Eric Rowan are barred from ringside per the stipulation of Jericho beating them on consecutive shows. So just mano a mano between Wyatt and Jericho.
Man, I, you know what? Like, I don't know why. But I can't get into this. Yeah, I can't get into this feud. I just don't understand. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, like, I just don't get it. Yeah. I tried to watch it on Raw with their sit down, and you got two great talkers, two awesomely talented individuals, and for some reason I can't get into it. So that's my fault, but man, but I think Bray Wyatt up.
Yeah, great podcast for Jericho. Bray really needs a win. I don't know if Jericho is running out of big returns in his career. This might just be one last hurrah, perhaps, and maybe it'll be an attempt to steal the show and make Bray look like $1 million. But if this ends up like we saw at Battleground with Jericho up, I don't see what that does for anybody, to be honest, except for maybe stroking Jericho's ego a little bit. But I think if anybody really needs a big win on the big stage, it's Bray Wyatt.
I believe so. I think he really needs to get a strong win at that.
Yeah. The match I skipped earlier, we'll get to now. It's Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. I've always kind of viewed this is Roman Reigns' audition. You know, it's like, well, if you're going to be the winning at WrestleMania, you're going to have to show that you can put on a good show in a major event. Everybody says that SummerSlam is the number two show on their calendar. So facing a guy like Randy Orton, who was your first ever, like, unified, you know, WWE World Heavyweight Champion at SummerSlam would be a big feather in his cap. So I see this as a match that really should be bigger than what seems like they're building up for. But I think really at the end of the day, if Roman Reigns delivers here, that'll just continue to accelerate his push up the ladder, I think.
I think so too. And I think here's another case, just like Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns needs a big win. And I think it'll happen. I think, you know, Randy Orton's the best guy to get him over, to get him one more match against, you know, maybe Royal Rumble. It's Triple H versus Roman Reigns, and you know, that gets him ready for maybe WrestleMania.
Yeah, what do you think of Roman Reigns? I know he has the big spots. The knock on him is, does he actually work? I mean, I suppose that's the same age-old argument about guys like Cena and guys like Hogan. It's like, well, is it necessary that they need to be, you know, big-time workers? Or is it the type of thing where you got to sell, you got to hit your spots, and then at the end of the day get the fans to like you and love you?
I think he's figuring it out. You know, he's in a huge, huge spot, and he's going to be great. I think he's going to be – I mean, he might not be The Rock, but – he's going to be close to the next Rock.
And finally, our main event, the biggest match of the summer, as they call it, perhaps. It'll be Brock Lesnar taking on our hero, John Cena.
Now, I know everybody thinks that, you know, it's Lesnar that's going to go up, but I don't know. I don't count Johnny Boy out, you know. Or there'll be some sort of finish that will bring them back for a little bit, maybe all the way to Survivor Series. But I'm not so convinced that they're going to put the belt on Brock Lesnar.
I think it's really risky. I really do. I think it's really risky. If this were back in 1989 and you only had 4 pay-per-views, that's one thing. But I think if you put your major title on somebody who's not even going to be there, for a huge chunk of that time. I mean, it is almost, it's sad to think this way because we're all about instant gratification, but it's like to go from SummerSlam to WrestleMania without seeing the champion on television or even on a pay-per-view, it just seems so, that's like an eternity, you know?
I think so too. I'm going to be interested, and I think the match is going to be great. The setup's been awesome. I either see some sort of screwed up finish or Cena up.
Now, Cena up would blow up the internet, and I'd hate to hear what would happen on our recap show after immediately following the pay-per-view here on the Place to Be Network. But be that as it may, there are some other challengers that you could throw Cena's way that you may not necessarily have a chance to throw at Brock if Brock's kind of on his limited dates. Now, I got to tell you, though, there's still some people out there, Steve, that think that Brock Lesnar in this spot isn't the greatest decision. And I wrote about this week. I think that it was the only decision to make. I mean,
I think so, too.
If this is your second biggest show of the year, what bigger name could you possibly have put up against Cena that would have... I mean, obviously, you don't have Bryan, you don't have CM Punk. You take those guys out of the equation, you don't have Undertaker. You have a guy in Lesnar who has already given Cena a big fight, a great match, classic, everybody still talks about it, it's 2 years old. I can't fathom this idea that, well, oh, it's a part-timer, why is he up playing for the title, blah, blah, blah. I think it's a silly argument. Brock Lesnar is money, is big time, is box office. And you put him up against John Cena, that's going to draw in some people that might not have ordinarily have ordered SummerSlam otherwise, I think.
I think so, too. I think, you know, it's the casual fans know who Cena is, and that it's going to be... It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great show.
I think so. No tag teams, though. Does that surprise you at all?
Very, very much so.
No tag team titles. The Usos have been putting on good matches, both on TV and pay-per-view lately, and nothing. I even looked at the main event spoilers, although now it's not really spoilers because it's old, because this is Friday, as you know. Nothing really happened on main event as far as a new challenger emerging. It's I don't know, it's kind of odd that there's no tag team matches scheduled for this event.
Very much so. Hmm. All right, well, that looks like it's going to be a great SummerSlam show. Hey, this weekend, tonight, I will be in Brooklyn, New York for Ring of Honor at Field of Honor. Come on out, have a catch with me. I'm bringing my baseball glove and announcing the show. Saturday, I'll be in Havelock for Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment in Havelock, North Carolina, fieldofshock.com. And then Sunday, like I said, I'll be at Dave & Buster's in Virginia Beach, Virginia, appearing at the SummerSlam viewing part. It'll be cool. Come out, get some autographs. And shoot the shit with me about SummerSlam. Let's see who does everything good. What do you got going on, Dan?
Speaking of viewing parties for SummerSlam, the guys and I were getting together. The guys from Place to Be Nation. We're going to the you might hear it on our little commercial breaks, the ad for Bonehead's Wing Bar and Grill. Or the pub or what have you. Been there a few times, some great food, awesome atmosphere, it's all music themed, but the owner's a big wrestling fan, and we all get together and pig out. It's going to be a great time. Myself, Justin Rosero will be there, you know, Roger the Cowboy from the Sports Lounge show will be there, so if you guys are in the West Warwick area and want to see and hang out with some Place to Be guys, that's where we will be, Bonehead's Wing Bar and Grill on placetobenation.com. Of course, you can read my Raw recap each and every... I actually post it late night, Monday night into Tuesday, if you wanted to read it kind of unedited. But then eventually it gets touched up afterwards. But we've got the Raw recap for you as well. There's the Seinfeld rewatch. If you're a big fan of Seinfeld, these guys are going episode by episode with some quick write-ups there. And then, Steve, you have been listening to some of these other SummerSlam Rewind series. A couple of them just came out within the last week or so. Some of the guys got together, Chad, Will, and Jordan, they're familiar names to our podcast family. They did SummerSlam 2010. That was Team WWE versus Team Nexus. And then also another group of three, another trio, King of Trios, took on SummerSlam 1997. And if you're trying to get in the mood for some SummerSlam this weekend, you might want to check out those podcasts, those rewinds. They took a different SummerSlam from a couple different eras. I was involved with the 2005 show, so if you wanted to take a listen to that as well, that's on there on placetobenation.com. And Steve, I would be remiss if I didn't say my Twitter. It's dmcg4881. I didn't say it last week. I ended up losing 5 followers this week. So
I saw that and I feel bad. Give it one more time.
It is at dmcg4881. The ODB had followed me for a few days and then unfollowed me, and I think it started a trend. So we were trying to trend back in the kind of like WWE stock. We want to go back in the positive direction with my Twitter following. So check us out.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of shitty that she did that to you.
Right?
Right. I can't believe it. Hey, check out my Twitter at King Carino, and our guest at Shell Pack at Corey Hollis, at PWF Legacy. You know, we're really trying to get that going. Follow our my website, worldofcarino.com, and PWF website, prowrestlingpwf.com. Hey, if you're listening to this website or you're listening to this podcast, go to that Pro Wrestling PWF website. Tell them that you want in on a great deal, and you will get an email, and I will tell you that you have won a prize. And then what the prize will be? Well, you're going to have to email pwflegacy@gmail.com, and you will find out. Hey, next week we're going to bring you another edition of the Steve Carino Show, and it is going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you join us for my man Dan McGinn and our guests Shell Pack and Corey Hollis. I'm Steve Carino, and we will see you next week on the Steve Carino Show.
Thank you for listening to the Steve Carino Show. Download the new episode every Friday at placetobenation.com. Making it snow, work the pole, I got the bang bro. I must say that I prefer them no clothes. I'm into that, I love women exposed. She threw it back at me, I gave her more. Cash ain't a problem, I know where it goes. She had them apple bottom jean boots with the fur. The whole club was looking at her. She hit the floor. Next thing you know, shawty got ready for Jones, got a lax made back for the sexy grown. Put throne on the rocks that'll make your moan. One stat, come on. Two stats, come on. Three stats, come on. Now that's 3 grand. What you think I'm playing? Baby girl, I'm the man. I ain't been a rubber band. That's what I told her. Her legs on my shoulder. I knew it was over. That Henny and Cola got me like a soldier. She ready for Rover. I couldn't control her. So lucky on me, I was just like a clover. Shorty was hot like a toaster. Sorry, but I had to fold her. Like a pornography poster. She showed her apple bottom jean ring boots with the fur. The whole club was looking at her. She hit the floor. Next thing you know, shorty got like McGlide. Apple bottom jean ring boots with the fur.